Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. Down with the King
for years, about 10 of them. And welcome to Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton. We are back sooner than expected from our last episode, but this is a fluid timeline with everything that's going on in the world right now, so I figured we should come back and give you folks something to listen to, especially if you're stuck inside. So helping me with that, as always, is my tag team partner, the man from the City of Angels. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. I had a good nickname for you yesterday, but they completely like skipped my mind today. So
I forgot what it was too.
Yes, these days, Marcus, like every day feels like 3 days now in the new Corona timeline. Man,
it's a marathon.
Yes. So ladies and gentlemen, it's Marcus. Marcus, my good hair can even survive a quarantine, Vandenberg. I guess that's what we use this week.
Nate, the barbershops are closed here for 3 days. What am I supposed to do?
You know you got product at the crib, man. Come on.
I got product, but I mean, I got growth. It's under grow. I can't stop the grow. So
what you're saying is by the time this is all straightened out, you'll walk out of the house looking like Killmonger from Black Panther?
I might. Yeah, in April. Hopefully April. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, nobody knows. And so that's why we decided to come back and give you guys and girls another show. And joining us this week, you know, is one of our favorite people to talk to. A lot of people, Marcus, I think, you know, you and I have been kind of lucky. We've been blessed in a sense that we got a lot of people that listen to the show that have been down since day one, and we really appreciate that. But there's only one person that can say that he's been down since day zero, and that's our guest this week, the self-proclaimed Soviet monkey that we shot up into space to see if this to see if this ship could go. He is a friend of the program, of course. You know this man from many podcasts around the world, including the excellent Star Trek podcast, Dork Trek. He's a friend of the program. He is a comic author, and he's somebody that we haven't talked to in a while, so we figured why not? Since we're all stuck inside, let's talk to one of our good friends. Bob France is in the building. Bobby, how you holding up, my brother?
I'm good, dude. I'm good. We are doing A-okay. You sound wonderful today, which is nice. Yeah, everything's going well, Nate. Just living the dream, buddy. Just living the dream.
Well, before we like get into any of this, the sillier topics, whether that's sports or wrestling, just in terms of like, because I know you and Marcus are both fathers, and I'm wondering like in this time, this uncertain time, like have there been any challenges specific to like parenting that you didn't expect, you know, during this whole kind of quarantine outbreak time that we're living in right now?
I'll let you go first, Marcus. You can go first.
Challenges? No. I mean, it was a couple late night Walmart runs to stock up on diapers and formula. But you know, having a kid who's so young that, you know, this doesn't really impact him directly yet. So yeah, nothing out of the ordinary. He's going into daycare next week, actually. So that'll be an adjustment, I'm sure, but we'll be, you know, it's about time. It's about 6 months in. So time for him to experience the world and be off our plates a little bit during the day so we can work. So yeah, nothing too out of the ordinary.
Sound like you just kicking my nephew out into the wild, Marcus Vandenberg. I don't appreciate you talking about young Simba like that.
He's going to a safe place.
Just go to In-N-Out Burger, see what you can scrounge up, kid.
My kids are a little older. I've got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, and it's been an adjustment for some, especially my son, who really enjoys first grade and seeing all of his pals. There's been a couple long nights, couple rough bedtimes, But other than that, I mean, we're just trying to keep a somewhat of a schedule at the crib, trying to do some homeschooling and all that jazz, because I feel like the structure of school kind of needs to be maintained at home a little bit so it seems a tad more normal. Granted, I'm sure there's not as much Nintendo Switch playing during the day at school as there is here, as I've been calling it, social distancing elementary school. But yeah, man, we're just trying to keep on keeping on. That's all. Just trying to keep things as normal as possible. Mm.
Sounds like a highly accredited establishment you got there,
yes,
Mr. Friends.
Yes, yes.
That's good, though. Like, even though we are in uncertain times, I think there's got to be a level of normalcy, as normal as it can be, I guess.
Yeah, and that's all we're trying to do is just maintain a level of – and the kids are like, why do I have to get dressed in the morning? We're not going anywhere. I was like, just because – to stay in the routine of school, just because you would get dressed to go to school. You would brush your teeth before you went to school. You would just try to kind of maintain some level of normalcy. You're exactly right about that, sir.
So let's get normal on this show, at least normal for us, and talk about a couple topics in the world of sports and entertainment. Obviously, not a lot of on-field action going on right now, but I think let's start with the NFL, because I have a question I need to ask Marcus Vandenberg that may or may not define the trajectory of our friendship going forward. And I hate that you're here for this, Bob. I didn't want to put you in an awkward position. But we got some NFL news. Of course, we'll talk about Tom Brady here in a second. But for my Atlanta Falcons, America's team, Marcus, we had a big signing today. And I want to know from your perspective as a lifelong L.A. Rams fan, did we get hoodwinked here by signing your man Todd Gurley?
Let's just say this. I hope there's another option in Atlanta. I hope it's not just the Todd Gurley show.
So you're saying we need to see a lot of Ito Smith this coming season?
You might need to preserve those carries. Maybe save those carries for the goal line, you know.
What happened to that guy? Like, he was the best guy in the whole wide world, and then all of a sudden he just fell off the face of the earth.
He has arthritic knees, and I think Todd Gurley's only 25,
yeah,
maybe?
25, 26,
so
most.
Yeah, to hear the phrase arthritic knees at 24, 25 is a little scary. Now, to be fair, he did play all but one game this past season. The Rams reduced his carries by a little bit, but he was not as productive as his first or the season before that. So I don't think he's like totally washed up, but I also think he's not 2017 Todd Gurley.
Well, let me ask you this, Marcus, because you've obviously watched the Rams more than Bobby and myself, and Jared Goff wasn't that good last year. Was Goff less than because Gurley wasn't right, or was Gurley not right in part because he didn't have a passing game to balance out things?
No, I think Goff was not right because of not only the run game, but the offensive line was a mess, and you know, they had some injuries, and they were just – and maybe that's part of the reason why Gurley struggled as well. But, yeah, I think Goff – the thing about Goff, he was able to rack up yards. I think he was third in the NFL in passing yards. But he just felt like there are games where he was just not sort of – in it, in the sense of, like, it felt like the Rams had no chance of winning games certain weeks just because of Goff's performance. So I don't think it's anything fundamental or injuries or the fact that he's not very good. I just think that the line was not great. And then he was forced to pass as many times as he did because the run game was shit.
So you're saying,
I mean, it's a lot of money for a guy who looked pretty,
like he had pretty pedestrian last year. He was almost like considered a bust his first year. Then he was hot with your boy McVay, and then he kind of fell off. So I'm thinking, like, if Todd Gurley, I mean, if Jared Goff, and this is a crazy comparison, Bobby, but this is where we are right now in these trying times. If Jared Goff was a member of New Edition, he would have been Ralph Tresvant, because Ralph had that one hot record with Sensitivity. And then nobody was buying Ralph Tresvant singles.
he's better than Ralph Tresvant.
I'd say he's more Johnny Gill.
Johnny Gill, thank you.
I was going to say, like, he ain't no damn Bobby Brown.
No, Bobby Brown.
I mean,
no.
There are a few Johnny quarterbacks. There are a few quarterbacks in the league who are Bobby Brown. But yeah, I'd say he's more Johnny Gill. Because okay. His good season was great. I mean, he was fantastic. And I think the first season you can kind of give him a break because some of that was Fisher's fault. I mean, Jeff Fisher has no idea what he's doing with anybody, anywhere. I wouldn't let that guy coach the high school team up the street. But yeah, so I think a lot of that was, Johnny Gill. I'm saying Johnny Gill all the way.
Okay, so Goff had a my, rub you the right way, fair weather.
And rub you the right way was hot, son. That song was hot. you can't sleep on that.
Okay, I can go with that. So he had like about five good singles, five hot singles.
Yeah. I mean, he got them to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Right? Yeah, I mean, that's – and, yeah, they did make the playoffs last year. They finished 9-7, which was a disappointment. But, they were still over 500 and probably – what ended up being the toughest division probably in football, the NFC West. With the Niners and Seahawks.
It's just so odd because even in that 2017 run, like, he was the man and then he just disappeared. Like, he just, vanished. They were even talking about it while I remember watching the Super Bowl. And they're, where's Todd Gurley? He just didn't play at all. He just, poof, gone. And you say arthritic knees and all that stuff. And that's fine and dandy. But, I mean, I think we all remember your boy Frank Gore's leg exploding on national television when he was in college, and he's still out there grinding. I mean, is he just not interested in football? Like, that's the thing that hit me more than anything else. He just looks disinterested and kind of bored.
No, I think the Gore thing, I mean, that was, what, ACL, MCL? I think maybe there is something that to – if comparing injuries, like ACL injuries now are to the point where it's not going to wreck your career. You can still – bounce back and still have a decent career.
Yeah, but we're talking – this was Frank Gore, like, what, 2002 when his leg blew up in college. I was at the bar watching that, and I almost threw up from seeing it. It was really gnarly, you know?
I mean, Frank's one of a kind. He's one of a kind. I don't think it's a issue where Gurley isn't, you know, motivated or, you know – to be fair, I mean – it was not his decision to not get those reps in the Super Bowl. Like, he did not ask out of the Super Bowl. He did not ask for the football. That was on McVay and the coaching staff. And I think part of that is because they know something that we don't in terms of his health. And I think that's ultimately why they decided to cut him despite the salary cap hit, is because they know something that the rest of us don't know about his health. So good luck, Atlanta.
So is Gurley, like, getting back to the Falcons? Because you know, Marcus, how much of a Devontae Freeman stan I was. Like, led us on that great Super Bowl run that I don't remember how the game ended. Like, that's a dark patch in my mind. I can't remember.
Might
be that corona just messing my brain. I can't remember what happened after the first half. But Freeman was a really good back, and then he just kind of fell off last season. Like, do you think Gurley is an upgrade? Is he a downgrade? Or is he a lateral move from Devontae Freeman?
I mean, from 2018 Devontae Freeman, or 2019 Devontae Freeman, he's an upgrade. Because Freeman was pretty bad last year. Worse than Gurley. And then 2 years ago, Freeman barely played.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, Devontae Freeman has had, what, two good seasons, and the last good season was 2016, so it's probably an upgrade for sure over what was happening in Atlanta. And, you know, losing Tevin Coleman hurt the Falcons, and I don't think they ever replaced sort of that production from Coleman. So, yeah, I think Gurley will be a upgrade, but I also think that they need probably a stronger number two option than Ito Smith.
You left me stunned here, Marcus. You're supposed to be bringing up my spirits in this time.
Spirits. Well, you can still go outside. You're not under a lockdown. The weather's nice in Virginia. Zaxby's is still open, right?
I mean, drive-through only, but...
You know. Oh, okay.
And you can only have 10 employees on the clock at a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's despite what some people will tell you, Marcus, this isn't a hoax.
Interesting.
I mean, to be fair, Bobby, like I was telling people the whole time this was a pandemic.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah. Boy.
So let's talk about the we're not going to mention that orange elephant in the room, but we will mention his favorite quarterback because Tom Brady is now a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bobby, what did you think when you first heard that news that Brady had left New England after all these years and is now taking up residence down in Tampa?
Nate, I don't know, man. It's the Bucs. The Bucs. It just doesn't – the uniform is bad. That's not a great football town. I don't know. I just think it's such an odd move. It's such an odd move. I think even for Tampa, I mean, like, what does that say? I mean, Jameis Winston's done then. Like, his career is kind of kaput. I mean, he might be going to the Redskins, so he might as well go to the XFL at this point. I don't know, man. I was shocked, to be honest with you. I thought Brady would last forever in New England. I thought they would have worked something out. There would have been some kind of impasse, even if it was, like, a one-year thing. But, like, the fact that Tom Brady is going to Tampa Bay just seems so odd, and seeing him in the uniform, it just doesn't make any sense.
What about you, Marcus?
Good.
The Bucs are good.
I mean, good in the sense they have talent. They have talent at offense.
You remind me of my man that coming to America during Randy Watson. Like, that boy good. It's good and terrible.
Yeah.
And the Bucs are good. Good and terrible. What do you mean the Bucs are good, Marcus?
I mean, they were the same record as the Falcons last year.
This is not a time for your pettiness, Marcus.
I'm just saying, you know, they showed flashes last year of like, okay, this offense is actually legit under Arians. But, you know, now that you have Brady, who, this is where I wonder who's actually the better quarterback between Brady and Jameis Winston right now. Especially Jameis can see now. Jameis has vision. So
that's right. Jameis.
What if this was all the issue all along? It was Jameis couldn't see shit. And now
nobody gave this guy an eye test the whole time. When he's throwing 50 picks a season, nobody thought maybe we should get his eyes checked.
I would love that if Jameis now, after LASIK surgery, Bobby, came out next year and was like Drew Brees in terms of accuracy.
Just gutting like Troy Aikman. 95% completion percentage. But didn't he throw like 75 interceptions last year or something like that?
He threw 30. He doubled. I mean, that's a huge jump. That tells you like, okay, something was off. Like, you don't go from 14 interceptions to 30 in a season unless something is not right. And he did throw 33 touchdowns. He had 5,000 yards passing.
Yeah, he threw three more touchdowns than interceptions. So that's not a good ratio.
But it still meant that there are receivers to catch all these touchdown passes. And I do think that Brady will inherit some talent there.
Yes.
At receiver. And Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But
now let me ask you a question. Can I ask you guys a question? I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but is Tom Brady going to find it weird to actually throw the ball to black guys? Is that going to be a weird? Is that going to be a weird thing for him? He hasn't done that in a really long time.
These receivers are so genetically gifted and fast. I'm used to throwing the more scrappy receivers. These
more gritty receivers.
More gritty,
yeah,
they have such a high motor.
Book smart. Yeah.
Where are my gym rat receivers?
You're telling me this guy wasn't a quarterback in college? What's going on here? I didn't know that was possible.
I don't know. Like Marcus is, because I think yes, obviously from just putting the names on the board, Tom Brady's obviously an upgrade from Jameis in name and reputation and accomplishments, all that. But does Brady have anything left in the tank? Like the guy that we saw last year, is he going to dramatically improve the fates of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question or the multi-million-dollar question. There are times last year where he just looked done and then there are times towards the end of the season, that Buffalo game in particular, which was a big game for the Patriots, that he looked like Tom Brady, and he got them the win. So I think he last year was smart enough to know when to bail, when to not put himself into trouble, when to sort of abort and get out. It's hard for me to doubt him just based on the resume and the body of work, especially if he's going to be sort of, as he described it, hungry or renewed or focused this season. Then, yeah, I could see him definitely having a good season for Tampa Bay.
What kind of hunger does he need though at this point? I mean, what else is there left for him to do?
The hunger is it's a fuck you, Belichick.
It's pettiness.
I won those titles, not the Patriots way, not Bill Belichick, not Robert Kraft. It was me, Tom Brady, and I think he's going to be out to show them I'm more than assistant quarterback. I'm the all-time great, and this is why. So I think he'll definitely be focused.
It's interesting.
It's like when Randy Orton turned his back on evolution.
Yes.
It was all me, Triple H.
I did it. But we see how that ended up. Triple H, he runs the company. Randy Orton hitting people with chairs. So, I mean.
So, Bobby, I was going to ask you, what do you think about the Patriots side of things? Because, this is a very Patriot thing to do in terms of getting rid of somebody before it's too late. But even then, I think they held on to Brady probably longer than Belichick wanted. So who do you think will be the guy to step into Brady's shoes? Will it be somebody like a Jameis? Will it be somebody like your man's Andy Dalton out there?
I'm going Andy Dalton. I said it yesterday, and I'm sticking with that. It's Andy Dalton, baby. Andy Dalton or bust. He's coming. He's coming to New England, and everybody's going to be excited to have the Ginger Brady. I mean, when he's got weapons and he's got an offensive line, could win you some games. I mean, what, the Bengals went 13-3 that one year, and they just couldn't get over that hump because they're the Bengals. They're cursed. They're just awful. I think the Red Rifle could do some stuff, baby.
I like that. I like that. I like the fit there. Honestly, from a selfish standpoint, my dream scenario, Marcus, and I can't even believe I'm saying this. This is how crazy 2020 is I would love to see Cam sign with the Patriots and Bill Belichick turn him into the greatest pocket passer in the history of football.
Could you imagine?
Just what the hell's gotten into Cam Newton?
Now, isn't Cam kind of done though? Isn't he washed?
Cam can't stay healthy. That's the big thing.
Yeah, the injuries are too much for him. I think I think his style of play, I don't know if it. He's not going to have much longer, I don't believe, in this game. He's just too banged up.
I mean, he needs to change his style. And if that means going to New England and adapting to a Belichick playbook instead of a Cam Newton physical, I'm going to, first down, second down, third down on the goal, I'm going to get that touchdown no matter what. Those days are probably done for him. The passing, it's always been issues with his accuracy. So, if he's going to really sort of rely and stick in the pocket, that'll be interesting to see, especially if New England's got the current set of receivers they have now. That'll be an issue for any quarterback coming in. So I think they have some things to figure out in New England.
Yeah, I don't know with Cam. I think if I were somebody in the market for Cam Newton, I think it's a very small market, Bobby. We're maybe talking about, the teams that are looking at Cam are probably the same teams that would be looking at somebody like a Tua. Because if you're a team that's going to get Joe Burrow, you're not looking at Cam. If you're a team that is looking for, Trevor Lawrence a year from now, you're not looking at somebody like Cam to fill that gap. I think if you're somebody picking Tua, you might look at him, though, as somebody that can maybe run the team for a year or maybe two while Tua heals up and Tua learns the NFL. And then after that, you kick Cam to the curb and give the show to Tua.
Yeah, because he's 30 years old at this point already, and I can't see that style of play lasting much longer. And it's not like he was a super accurate passer back there anyway. It's not like that wasn't his game. So if you're going to try – I don't think you can try to change Cam Newton at this point.
No, I don't think so.
I think he is what he is. I mean, everybody knows what the kind of player Cam Newton is and what you're going to get. I mean, I don't think you can kind of morph him into a Tom Brady-style pocket passer. That just ain't going to happen.
But if there's one coach who could sort of get the buy-in, I think it would be Belichick, though.
Oh, no. I mean, I think Belichick could get anybody to buy into anything. I mean, the guy's a master motivator and a you know, a brilliant mind. But, I mean, I don't know. Cam Newton just doesn't seem like the guy. I'm betting the house on Andy Dalton. Here it comes.
Yeah, I think either Andy Dalton I would love to see Jameis with his new eyes out there.
He's going to Washington, I heard. That's the hot rumor.
Yeah, that I could see that, too, with him and your man – Haskins.
Nobody likes Haskins. Nobody wants that guy. I've never seen people abandon a quarterback.
Honestly, if you really think about it, like, I don't know what the relationship was between Rivera and Cam at the end, but if they were still on good terms, maybe that's a landing spot for Cam.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we're running out of teams that need quarterbacks too. That's the other issue.
Yeah, because your man Mariota signed with the Raiders.
Yep.
Which that's not an upgrade. That's not an upgrade. That guy stinks.
What about L.A.? Because everybody thought L.A. the Chargers. That's where Brady was going to end up, and now they're stuck, if you want to say it that way, with Tyrod Taylor, who I still think can be a competent backup. But I don't know if you're the Chargers, if you want to go for somebody else, another veteran.
Or maybe you draft someone. And
yeah, you draft somebody and let Tyrod figure that out. Because, I mean, like, nobody cares about the Chargers at this point anyway. And a Chargers team fronted by Tyrod Taylor ain't doing anything in that Los Angeles market. Like, nobody would give a shit.
I kind of love that. Like, this random quarterback from Hampton High School is now the face of the L.A. Chargers.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Los Angeles Chargers. And it's Tyrod Taylor. Like, what the hell is this guy?
Oh, like, the Chargers are, like, they're the fourth most popular football team in L.A., maybe fifth. I don't know how the L.A., who are they, the L.A. Renegades, the Roughnecks, who are they in the XFL this year, Mark?
The
Express?
Los Angeles. Was it Renegades?
I don't know.
No.
That's sad. Express, I should know this. The Express Defenders.
Defenders.
So the Defenders were DC.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Damn, I'm a lifelong defender.
Wildcats. Wildcats.
Oh, the LA Wildcats.
Wildcats.
Oh, yes. The LA Wildcats might be more popular than the Chargers in Los Angeles.
There are probably high school teams in Los Angeles that are more popular than the Chargers. I mean, nobody wants them. Like, nobody.
Yeah, that was just a bad move.
Yeah.
By your man Spanos there, Marcus.
He got a stadium.
Spanos is like Thanos at the end of Avengers. Avengers. What was the one before Endgame? Infinity War. And the Chargers fans are like, what did the stadium cost you? And Spanos is like, everything. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes my team. But I got a stadium though. So yeah, let's flip the script here, fellas, because I'm tired of talking about where Tom Brady might go and then this random quarterback carousel, and maybe Jacoby Brissett is the odd man out now that Phillip Rivers and his 10 kids have moved to Indianapolis. let's talk about something a little more fun, I guess, question mark, and that is WrestleMania. We are in WrestleMania season, gentlemen, and Bobby, I know, anybody that follows Bobby on Twitter, we'll see him occasionally tweet about some wrestling on Mondays occasionally, but primarily on Wednesday nights. But Bobby,
I'm more of a Wednesday guy.
Yeah, more of a Wednesday guy now. Bobby, how you feeling about this this 2 days of WrestleMania in an empty arena that we're looking forward to?
I mean, the 2 day thing, it makes sense, if I'm being honest. Because yet last year I watched WrestleMania in its entirety for the first time in a really long time, and I couldn't believe that it was like 9 hours long. I'm like, when is this thing gonna end? And I feel bad for the crowd that's there, because it's a fucking 7-hour marathon. And of course they're not hot at the main event. They've been sitting in that seat for 14 weeks. I mean, good God, these people need a break. So the fact that it is 2 days, I think, is kind of smart. I like the idea of it being a 2 day event. But the empty arena thing is so odd. I can't believe Vince McMahon actually is doing it. I thought they would drag him out on a rail before this happened to him. I can't believe he agreed to have WrestleMania move out of Tampa. That was shocking.
What about you, Marcus?
I don't think I don't think he had a choice at that point. I mean, what fans are showing up to WrestleMania? Like, I mean, wrestling fans are dumb.
I was going to say, those same dumb kids that are out on spring break right now?
Yes. I mean, did you see the announcement happened? It went nuts.
Yeah. They're getting, what, maybe 20,000 idiots who are going to this thing in a 70... I mean, it'd be different if WrestleMania was in an arena, and I could see them maybe trying to push back and just do it, but to try to fill a football stadium was not going to happen, especially when you rely so much on international and people traveling to Tampa Bay, which no one's getting on an airplane at the moment. So I think that... I mean, ideally, if you sort of knew when this would all end and you had faith in your creative team, you would just postpone it to do WrestleMania at a later date. But considering that everything's up in the air and you sort of need to move on with some of these feuds, and a lot of these guys, well, two of these guys in particular, are now part-time workers, they probably need to move on. You sort of had to do the show. And I think AEW proved that you can do an empty arena show,
yep,
and it still not feel awkward and still feels like it has some character and some life. We'll see tonight on SmackDown if the people who produce programming for WWE were watching AEW to see what they did and maybe borrow from what they did. I don't know why this is the year they decided to do two nights of WrestleMania. I get it because there's no takeover, but of all the years that you're sort of hurting for just matches in the sense of, like, do you want to do 6 hours of empty arena matches? Probably not. And it sounds like they're filming this over multiple locations, and it'll probably not be live. It'll probably be pre-taped. But I just wonder what the hell they're going to sort of come up with in trying to produce this show.
Yeah, go ahead, Bobby.
I was going to say, and the ironic part about all this is, they put the belt, I said this yesterday, they put the belt on Goldberg, so when Reigns beat him, the crowd would boo Goldberg and be happy for Reigns, but now there's no crowd, so it seems like it was all for naught, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that whole shift was basically to get Roman Reigns a cheer, and the whole reason why Goldberg is there is for the cheap pop, and now there's no cheap pop, there's no Roman Reigns winning cheer, it just seems like it just kind of blew up in their face.
Yeah,
but if you still want that, if you still want that Reigns reaction, I mean, Reigns should be the first guy you push out during that first show that's televised again in front of fans.
Main event night one.
No. I'm saying once things are back to normal.
Oh, okay.
And we have a program that features fans, and you bring Reigns out, and Reigns can sort of deliver his Captain American John Cena speech and sort of get the fans behind him, I think he'll be fine.
Do you think, Marcus, that they would have been better off just waiting and doing this show in the summer or even later if need be?
I mean, how would you sort of freeze time and then move on and then go backwards and pick up where you left off? I think that's the problem.
Mm. I guess the only way they could have done it, and this is if they would have wanted to do it, and like Bobby said, we know the stubbornness of one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And so, like, if he wanted to do it, I guess you could have done a situation where your Raws and your SmackDowns are basically each week you do a program that's on WrestleMania. And you do, like, the greatest matches of those two competitors and have them talk about the matches and maybe do, like, a commentary track or something like that, where you're using old footage and you're not having to put your workers in an arena, you're not having to put fans in an arena, and you do that for a couple months, and it's not ideal, but it's a way to prolong the stories?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't, but the thing is, I don't mind watching, like the John Cena promo last week with The Fiend was spectacular. Mm. Like, Bray's promo with him was amazing. That was almost worth watching that whole terrible show. But I just don't know if the audience would stick around for that, because they're, as Daniel Bryan said famously many moons ago, they're fickle. Mm. You know, like they want WrestleMania, I think, just as bad as everybody else. They were looking forward to it, and yeah. I don't know if they would stick around for I mean, would you want to watch – let's be honest. Would you want to watch Drew whatever his last name is, the Irish guy or whatever?
Do
you
McIntyre.
Watch, yeah, do you want to watch McIntyre talk about his greatest matches on a weekly basis? Like, do I – yes, go ahead. Do I really want to see Sheamus talking about something? Like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't need any of that. Like, no. Do I want to watch the King – talk about his greatest feuds? No, I don't like him. I don't want him on my television. So no, like, more of that sounds awful, you know? Like,
so Bobby France is decidedly not a Baron Corbin fan.
He stinks. That guy's got nothing going on.
We haven't mentioned yet the other addition to WrestleMania, which is
the main eventer, the host,
Rob Gronkowski, who is now hosting what the company is describing as two bid for one night in regards to WrestleMania. So Gronk will make his debut tonight on SmackDown, and I don't know. I mean, I'm all for Gronk wrestling, but I don't know about Gronk hosting a WrestleMania.
That'd be the WrestleMania where you need all those idiot spring breakers, because they could relate. On that Gronkowski level, everybody just being drunk and horny and just all the frat bros out there for Gronk. Like, he's their
Maybe
leader.
That's the audience they're going for, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it'll be interesting. Like, I think they're trying to make the best, obviously, out of a bad situation. And it was announced today that ESPN will actually be airing.
Yeah.
The past three WrestleManias over the next couple of weeks, which is an interesting kind of use of that ESPN WWE partnership.
Yeah, they're airing 30, 32, and 35. Mm. 32 was not good. 35 was not great. 30 was good.
Yeah.
30 was Daniel Bryan, sort of his run, and also the end of the streak for Taker and Lesnar. So. But yeah, this is interesting. I mean, it free ESPN provides them cheap programming.
Yep.
For the WWE, you're getting exposure on a major top sport channel just a few weeks before WrestleMania. I wonder if there's any thoughts about just having WrestleMania on ESPN or on Fox or NBC. But yeah. I think considering the lack of crowd, I think that would probably be a tough sell.
Yeah, you're probably right. Bobby, you brought up the competition, the distinguished competition of AEW. And this past week, they put on what I would say, and I think in the opinion of most fans, was the better, quote-unquote, empty arena show. What did you make of the show on Wednesday, and what have you thought about AEW in general? Because I think this will probably be the first time we've had a chance to talk to you on air since Dynamite launched.
Yeah, AEW is fantastic. It's just very well done. I appreciate the athleticism of the matches. I like the way some of the talent are allowed to blossom. I love the idea, you know, when you go on Twitter and you see just the people that be hating on AEW about how it's all just old WWE guys. I'd say that's, you know, some of the quote unquote newer guys from AEW, they're doing a great job making their own stars. Guys like, yeah, Darby Allin is an amazing watch. I mean, MJF is probably the best heel in wrestling at the moment. Just doing old school heel stuff. Like, just, he's clearly stealing from Rowdy Piper's playbook, but it's wonderful to watch in 2020. I mean, it's been really great television. Every week I watch, Sammy Guevara is amazing. Yeah. That guy is, and he's getting that Chris Jericho rub, and you can see every week he becomes more confident in his own abilities, not as a performer, but as like a, as a talker, if you will, as a promo guy. I mean, I think AEW has been a breath of fresh air, and I really enjoy it. And I mean, come on, dude, find me a better way to use Jake the Snake Roberts. Mm. I mean, yeah, the last 2 weeks of Jake alone have been the best wrestling promos I've seen in God knows how long.
It's funny, Marcus, because Jermaine Jones, our buddy Jermaine in Chicago, sent me a tweet the other day. I think it was Thursday. And it knocked me out of my chair, because it was the first tweet from Jermaine addressed to me in a while that wasn't slandering Roman Reigns. So that was a surprise. Yeah, Bobby Germain. Germain is just like a irrational Roman Reigns hater, and I try to tell him, like, the guy's not that bad, but he just, for whatever reason, can't let go of that grudge. But Germain was like, you know, for years, Nate, you were talking about TNA and how you wanted that to kind of pick up the mantle for WCW, and they failed. AEW is succeeding where TNA couldn't. And I was like, you know what? That's actually kind of right. Like, it's this kind of throwback show, but it's also very much a modern production with Cody and Kenny and the Bucks and those guys. And yeah, I know you had some issues, I think, with the product at first, Marcus. But what have you made of AEW, like, in recent months?
No, I didn't have any issues.
That might have been Brian Mann. That might have been Brian.
It was I feel like Brian loved it, too. No, I haven't had any issues. I mean, the only issues would be like some of the production stuff early on. But that stuff is pretty minor. But yeah, I mean, in terms of week in, week out, it's probably by far the best wrestling show on TV at the moment.
Yeah.
And, the ratings are now reflecting that, because there's, at least this past week, there was a gap between, a bigger gap between AEW and NXT.
But didn't NXT run like a pro, like they ran a repeat, basically, like a best of or some shit like that?
I didn't watch, because I heard it was just basically like a video package for Gargano and Ciampa.
They may have had like an actual new match, but for the most of it, like 80% of it, at least from what I saw flipping during the commercials, was prepackaged stuff or matches they've already run.
And how many times do I have to watch Ciampa and Johnny Wrestling fight each other? It's like, come on, man, we've been there. We've seen that match 1,000 times. Let's give me something different.
I don't understand why they ran that now, considering there is no takeover. So unless they're doing that match on WrestleMania, then you're disrespecting the fans in the sense that you're promoting a match that we don't know when it's going to happen. So do the empty arena match for NXT, that's fine. I think it'd probably work better for NXT, to be honest, but so I'm curious to see what they do going forward for NXT while we're on this weird hiatus for sports. But yeah, I think, you know, the show's Dynamite's pretty solid up and down.
Yeah.
I think the, you know, considering we're only, what, 6 months in, maybe? Started, what, October?
Yeah, October.
Yeah. You know, I think this has been pretty much, outside of maybe one or two bad weeks, a pretty solid run here.
So what I'm hearing, Marcus, is you are disputing the judgment of guest host / interim commissioner Gronkowski of giving away this Gargano-Ciampa match so soon.
Ugh.
I mean, we don't need to see it. We've seen it before. Like, why are we going back to this feud?
I mean, I could have...
At some point, break them up.
If Ciampa had beaten Adam Cole, then I see it, because they both want the title. But the fact that it doesn't make sense, I don't get it. Like, we've seen that match 1,000 times. I'm good, baby. Like, let's move on.
I have a confession to make, Bobby, and this might stun some of the listeners out there, because I've been high on NXT last year and into the early parts of this year. But now, unless your man Velveteen Dream is on the screen, I'm pretty much flipping the channel.
Come on, man. What about Keith Lee, son? Keith Lee's great.
I do love me some Keith Lee and some Adam Cole, but it's like, for whatever reason, it feels like NXT's been in this holding pattern for the last few months.
I mean, Adam Cole is one of the best promo guys in the business. I heard echoes and nothing into that vacuum. I mean, dude, he does... He cuts a great promo.
Bobby felt like when Cole was up on the main roster and they couldn't get his pyro timed right.
Yeah,
for the boom.
I stand by that statement, and I am not afraid. Adam Cole is one of the best promo guys in the business. The guy is amazing.
Everything about him is fantastic.
I don't think he's sort of been put in position recently to show off that. I feel like the stuff with Undisputed Era is sort of paint by numbers at the moment. And there's more to his range on the mic that he's not able to do. I've seen Cole and ROH and PWG, like, he can definitely do it. He's just not sort of doing it now. But
he cut a promo. I think that just put. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marcus. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I just think that this speaks a bigger not issue, but just a bigger distance of NXT since they went to USA, where I don't know if it's the extra hour or them trying to compete with AEW, but the show doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel must-see TV anymore. And I don't know how you sort of get back to that outside of moving back to 1 hour. Or maybe it's time for some of these guys to, quote-unquote, graduate to another roster and then bring up a fresh set of talent.
I don't know. This may be a controversial statement within itself when it comes to NXT, but do they have the roster depth to go 2 hours? I find myself watching it a lot on DVR, and I'm fast forwarding through a lot of crap because there's just guys that I don't care about either way.
Yeah, I feel like their roster, but you're right, Bobby. Like, they've got the bodies, they've got the quantity, but I don't know if they've got the depth or the quality right now.
I feel like the roster is very top heavy. Like they've got the guys to give me good main events and like six good matches, but I mean, other than that, do they have the people to fill up 2 hours worth of programming?
Maybe not. I mean, maybe that's the issue. Maybe going from one to two with this roster is just not great.
But, I mean, the thing is, Vince doesn't care about any of that. The main reason they're on USA is to siphon whatever viewers they can from AEW. Because if we were living in a world where NXT were not on Tuesday nights directly head-to-head, I'm not guaranteeing, but I think your ratings on a week-to-week basis for AEW would be a lot closer to that 900 up to a million rather than, you know, we've seen a lot of weeks where they're kind of in that mid-800 range. I think you'd see far less of that and more of the top end in terms of numbers.
I do wonder if we're just to the point where they'll separate and there won't be competition and maybe both shows benefit from not having to compete against each other.
I think so, because you're right, like, NXT, ever since they've gone head-to-head, like, that first show was a banger. And then the weeks during the whole sort of lead-up to Survivor Series, those were hot shows. But it feels like they're stretching themselves a bit too thin right now.
Well, that first NXT show that was on USA was only an hour, and they did the second hour on the WWE Network.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's like, yeah. I don't know. And that was
a TV. That was a programming issue. They decided to jump the gun, and they had to, you know, compete with other programming, so...
Sorry, Vince, we got to get in these Modern Family repeats. We got to see what's popping with your man, Phil Dunphy. Real quick, before we let you go, Bobby, because we can't have Bobby fresh. I called you by your dead name.
That's a long time ago. That name doesn't really mean that much to me anymore.
Who is that man? I don't know this man.
I haven't gone by that in such a long time.
It's been a long time since we had Bob France on the show. And every time we talk to Bobby, we got to talk a little baseball. So, Bobby, I guess the biggest news since we last spoke was the whole Astros deal. What did you make of that and kind of the fallout from the cheating scandal or the trash can drumbeat heard around the world?
I don't know. Like, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but Marcus mentioned it. I don't know if enough was done. I think Major League Baseball and Manfred just try to do their best to kind of sweep everything under the rug. Like, nothing to see here, guys. Just nope, nope, nope. Look away, look away, look away kind of vibe. And I think the game is kind of tainted at this point. Like, the World Series win is clearly tainted. The Astros, who were a feel-good story, they sold all their big guys off. They built, they did this wonderful job of recruiting and analytics and all this. They were like a model franchise. No, not really. They were just kind of cheating. And I mean, I don't think Major League Baseball made enough of a stink about it.
So, Marcus, you know, we heard from Bobby, but out of the three of us, you are the aggrieved party here with your Dodgers having their rightful crown stolen from them, ripped away by this band of scrappy cheaters in Houston. So what did you make of the whole situation? These lovable cheaters.
These scrappy cheaters.
I mean, I'm not, you know, listen, I think part of the nature of what I do professionally sort of takes a little bit of your soul away when it comes to sports fandom. So I was not irate. I was not raging and crying. I do think that the punishment was too light, though, you know, Dodger fan or not. I feel like if you knew that there was a long history of cheating throughout the season and the playoffs, you need to vacate the title. And just there is no champion for 2017. I do think that the what ended up happening with, you know, Hinge getting fired and Luhnow getting fired was the right move on the Astros' part. And the draft picks will hurt the Astros, definitely. The money doesn't, you know, $5 million is nothing for a ball club. So that doesn't do anything for me. But and I do think that if you knew which players were cheating, then you need to figure out how to punish them properly. And if that means a rolling suspension where some guys are suspended while others are playing, so, you know, that way you're not crushing the entire Astros roster by suspending all the guys at once, but they should not be sort of be found innocent just because they're, you know, they weren't the ones sort of in charge and making the calls. They could have stand up and said, "Hey, look, I'm not going to do this," but they did not. They benefited from the scheme, and I think punishing the players would be only fair to do. And now, unfortunately, you didn't punish them, and now they're going to sort of get it twice in terms of not only the fans, but from other players.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that, again, like Rob Manfred, he probably should have came out more forceful and then, if need be, backed off of the punishment rather than kind of starting light and now being locked in a situation where, well, I can't go any further because I told players there'd be immunity and all this other stuff, and now I'm kind of stuck with this public relations disaster. But, you know, talking about next season, and Bobby brings up a really good point, I think, in that, yes, you'll always have fans that will still feel some type of way about Houston, but I think, like, after we get through this, however long this lasts, and we actually get back to games, I don't know how much force will be behind that kind of outcry of, you know, these guys are cheaters, throw the bums out, whatever you want to say. I think people would just be happy to be outside drinking beer, watching baseball.
Well, we're about to find out. Is good publicity, or any publicity good publicity? Because I wonder if people are going to watch baseball because of the news cycle that we were in before the coronavirus. But now maybe the coronavirus sort of distract people from all that cheating, and people don't watch baseball because they do know, they do remember that, hey, this sport over here, it's a little corrupt. We got some issues going on. Like, the credibility of the game is in question.
I mean, to be fair, isn't baseball at its core, Marcus, about trying to get that competitive advantage?
Not like this, though.
Stealing
Come
signs,
on. This,
taking juice.
This is Nets level. I mean, and listen, it's one thing if the players were sort of doing this on their own, but people knew. AJ Hinch knew.
The whole organization,
he didn't stop them.
Was in on it.
The whole,
right?
Like, Luhnow knew. The owner knew. So that's where I feel like it becomes out of line. And let's just assume that the NBA season is salvaged. Now you have the NBA going against baseball, and you're talking about what will be peak NBA in terms of the playoffs, which is a, you know, 2-month stretch going against, you know, this baseball window. I just wonder if people are going to watch baseball after this break.
I mean
it already struggles with ratings as is.
Yeah, but I think baseball has kind of turned into a regional sport at its core now. I mean, people have been kind of singing the death song of baseball since the strike and, you know, the steroid era, and that's going to kill baseball. Baseball is going to have its loyal audience no matter how small that audience may be. I know I'll watch the Mets to, you know, till the day I die, and hopefully something good will happen to them. We were so close but yet so far away. But that's neither here nor there. But the point, I mean, and you talk about people thinking of the sport being tainted. I mean, there are people to this day who still think the NBA is tainted with the draft lottery and the refs and the gambling scheme that the refs had a couple of years ago. So, I mean, and the NBA is more popular than ever, you know? So, I mean, I don't know if it'll go that far with it. You know, maybe the casual fan will kind of dip out, but if you're a Brewers fan and Milwaukee's playing well, I don't think you're going to think – you know, you're not going to say, well, you know what? I'm not going to go to the ballpark today because those Astros, they're cheaters. You're going to go, no, man, Christian Yelich is the best player in the game, and I get to see him play, and we're, you know, 10 games up on the Cubs, and this is awesome. We're going to the playoffs. Baseball is very much a bandwagon sport at its core. You know, I mean, look at Cincinnati. They were great. 5-6 years ago, they sold out constantly. Now you can't give tickets away to the Reds because they're just awful. The Phillies are the same way. Think about how good the Phillies were. They had like that streak of like 300 consecutive home game sellouts, and now nobody cares. And they just keep buying people, and still it's like the audience will come once the Phillies are better. And I think if you have a team that's good, the audience will be there. It'll just be a smaller regional audience, but the teams will still make money.
Tell me Adam Jones isn't going to put butts in seats?
No, I don't think so.
He's not in the majors. He's in Japan.
Yeah.
And I love Adam Jones. Be safe. Be safe, Adam Jones. Wash your hands.
It's probably safe. It's safer in Japan than it is here. You should be telling us, be safe, wash your hands.
You're probably
right.
He's good.
Go to South Korea.
Yeah.
I never thought there'd be a day when I trusted.
Let's go to China.
Yeah, I'm going to say, when I trusted the Chinese government more than I trusted my own.
Wow.
How the tables have
turned.
Here
we are.
Yes. So, on that note, we're going to call it a show this week, but, yes, this was fun, man. Like we need to do this more frequently. But Bobby,
yes,
it was great reconnecting with you, my brother. For the people out there that are interested in Star Trek, because Dork Trek is still going strong. Let the people know about Dork Trek or about any of the books you got coming up. You had Mighty the Dinosaur and Metal Shark Pro. So let people know what's going on in the world of Bob France.
Dork Trek is the Star Trek podcast. We are the longest running, dirtiest podcast in the Star Trek universe. I just released episode 348.
Wow.
We've been doing this thing for close to 9 years. We're almost finished with Deep Space Nine. We did all of TNG. Next is Voyager, unfortunately, which I don't think we're looking forward to. But that's either here nor there. So, yeah, just go to DorkTrek.com.
And now you got Picard, so, this show is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Dude, you know what, man? I got to tell you, I watched the first 3 episodes of Picard, and it was kind of snooze fest, and I haven't watched it since.
Wow.
Like, I haven't. It was too slow for me, man. It took too long to put the team together. Just put the team together. Let's go. Chop, chop.
That's what we want to see.
Yeah, I don't need – yeah, I'm not – yeah, let's get this thing moving. Come on. Let's go. Chop, chop. But, yeah, we're going to keep doing Dork Trek until we don't want to do it anymore. We have a good group of people. And then I've got some books coming out in the spring and summer, hopefully. Who knows what will happen now, but Metal Shark Bro Volume 2 will be out, okay, or I guess around June. I've got another book coming out around June. So, yeah, hopefully stuff will be coming out, man. We just got to keep working. That's all.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Brother Marcus, what have you got going on besides throwing my young nephew out into the cold world on his own?
Not a whole lot. Just quarantine and chill. So you can find me on social media, though, at Marco, MarcoWill.
Yeah, Marcus at the beginning of the year was looking like my man Eric LaSalle from Coming to America at the beginning of the movie, where he's all pretty and the hair is just perfect. By the end of this coronavirus deal, he'll be looking like Eric LaSalle at the end of the movie, where he's in the rain and just the hair's all downtrodden. But we still
sad
got
and
you.
Wet.
Sad and wet. We still got your back, Marcus. Let your soul glow. As for me, you can find me in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Of course, we got the Kings of Sport here. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/Kings of Sport, where this weekend, whenever this show comes out, it'll probably be either right before or right after. I got another show coming out. That's a top secret project, but I think people enjoy it, particularly people that are stuck inside. Like, what else are you going to do except listen to me for another 45 minutes out of your day? But, yeah, we got that going on. And, We don't know when we'll be back, but it probably will be sooner rather than later, given all of our current states right now, Marcus.
Next week.
You heard it here, folks. It's on the podcast. It's legally binding. So that is going to do it for this edition of the Kings of Sport. Again, want to thank Brother Bob France, who has been here since day zero, supporting the
day
program.
Day zero.
We appreciate you, man. Stay safe and all the best to you and the family out there.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you for having me, Marcus. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, that is the one and only Bob France. And thank you, listeners, for checking out the show. We'll be back next week, according to Brother Lightskin over here. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, for Bobby France, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. And normally I come up with like a little funny thing here, Marcus, but I'm just going to repeat what I said last week to all the listeners out there. Wash your damn hands. And to any of those kids that might be listening to this on spring break, get your ass inside. Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's bad. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to leave it all on the mat. Because that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah! I'm on a new level.
Coronavirus! Coronavirus!